In today's Mishnah, we're in the second and third Mishnah from the 11th Perek of Masechta Nedarim. And this Mishnah begins, Ve'elohim nidrei inu nefesh. The following Nedarim that we're going to list are those ones that cause a discomfort. The reason why I have to mention this is because in yesterday's Mishnah, we started listing a number of Nedarim that are considered inu nefesh, and we saw that Rabbi Yossi disagreed. He said, for example, her making a neder against putting on makeup, that wouldn't be considered inu nefesh. It's not one that causes a discomfort, but rather it would, according to Rabbi Yossi, if you remember, be considered a neder that is defined as beino levena, that impacts a relationship, so therefore the husband still would be able to mefer the neder, still be able to put a stop to it. In yesterday's Mishnah, we said there's a difference between the two, meaning whether it's inu nefesh or whether it's beino levena. We said if it was a neder that was defined as inu nefesh, that caused a discomfort, then he would be able to mefer the neder, put a complete stop to it. If it was only a neder that impacted their relationship, he'd only be able to put a stay on the neder as long as it was impacting their relationship or the elements that it would impact their relationship. So the reason why I'm going over this again is the Barta Nura explains a point that I neglected yesterday, and he explains the end of this mission now. So he explains that according to Rabbi Yossi, that if she makes a neder that she doesn't want to put on, say, makeup, he's able to make from the neder because, again, Rabbi Yossi defines that beno levena. So consequently, the neder would only be stopped as long as they continue to be married. If she was widowed or divorced, then the neder would come back into play. And she would have to then, if she wanted to start putting makeup on again, she would have to go to a chacham to undo the neder. So back to this Mishnah. Mishnah says, what are those nedarim that even Rabbi Yossi would agree are considered nur nefesh? So Mishnah says, Amra, she says, konam peirot ha'olam olai. She makes asa to all the peirot. Peirot can be fruit or produce, but fruit of the entire world. Then harezi achol afer, because that's going to cause her discomfort, that's considered inui nefesh. Perot midina alai, what if she says only from this particular area or this state? Then Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Yossi, yavi la midina acheret. Then the husband can't make for the neder because she still has access to peirot, and therefore she should get it from another location. What if she says, peirot chenvani ze alai? What if she says she doesn't want anything from this particular shopkeeper? Once again, the husband, ein yechol lahafer, he's not able to put a stop to this neder because he could go to other shops to purchase her peirot. However, im lo heita parasot ameno, if, however, the husband already had a particular arrangement with this shopkeeper, such that he had a line of credit there, and that's really the only place he could purchase food, then in that situation, harei ze yafer, he would be able to do so because not purchasing from them would mean effectively not purchasing from anywhere, and that would be considered inui nefesh for her. That's all the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. What's interesting here, the Barta Nura points out that this Mishnah and the rest of this parak really goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that differentiates between a large amount of inui or a small amount of inui, meaning it's only in a situation with a great amount of inui, discomfort or affliction to her, for example, peirot of the entire world, that we start saying it's only that category into Rabbi Yossi that he'll be able to mefer. However, the Chachamim don't differentiate. And also, even the situation where she said at this particular state, she doesn't want a location she makes a neder against, if this would actually require the husband to go elsewhere, now this becomes a neder that's according to the Barta Nura, that is defined as beino levena. It impacts their relationship, so the husband would be able to do so. So in other words, we find Rabbi Yossi in this Mishnah has a much more restricted definition of what's inu nefesh and also what the chasmah mefer, but as I mentioned already, the halacha seems to go like chachamim that it's far broader than that. Let's start now learn Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah says, konam she'ini ne'er lebriyot. If she says she doesn't want to get any hena'a from anyone, then in that situation we say, eni achol lahafer, he cannot undo the neder. Why? That is because she would still be able to get hana from her husband. Because when she says briot, meaning creatures or people, she is not including a husband in that context, and therefore the husband would still be able to support her, and therefore it wouldn't be considered any inui nefesh, because she could get everything she would require, albeit via her husband. But similarly, v'yachola hi lehanot beleket v'shichcha peya, and the various gifts of the poor that we've mentioned all the way back in Masechta Peya. This is a leket, these are individual stalks that fall during harvest, shicha, these are the bundles that are forgotten behind, all peah, the corner of the field, all these things that are left for the poor. Since they're ownerless, or they're deemed as hefker, she would be able to collect from that, and therefore she has a means of being supported. Interestingly here, Kati cites another opinion in the Gemara that says that the point of mentioning leket pan shichacha is to teach us that even if she ends up being divorced from her husband, such that now he would be encompassed in the term briot, then she would still be able to get hana'a from leket pan shichacha and have a means of deriving hana'a. What if she says, konam kohanim ulevim nehenin li? She makes a neder, she doesn't want any kohanim ulevim to get any hana'a from her. Then if she had trumas amasra or titu al korcha, they would be able to forcibly take it from her. In other words, it wouldn't be a violation of the neder because the trumas and masra do not belong to her. They belong to the kohanim and levim. Mishnah continues, however, kohanim elu, if someone or she or somebody anyone makes a neder saying these particular kohanim and levim, I don't want them to get hana from me, then yitlu acharim, then other kohanim could come and take it. However, those kohanim, specific ones that he mentioned, that they asked for hana, they wouldn't be able to come and retreat, get the trumas and masra from him. Why? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's the owner's decision who he gives the trumas and masra to. And in other words, he has tovat hana'a. Therefore, the neder is effective enough to forbid them from retrieving trumas and masra, because ultimately, at the end of the day, he can choose who he wants to give them to, and there are other kohanim that aren't covered by this neder. Those are the Mishnah today.